Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
I'm Lynn.
Welcome back, Lynn. Still our podcast about anything and everything off-road. We're always socially distanced. Ross and I still have never been in the same place. I think I'm going to reference
it. You guys could be now. Like, you don't even have to wear a mask on an airplane anymore, you guys. It's a whole new world.
Oh boy.
Ross was supposed to take a trip, but he's got some other things going on. So that's a touchy subject with him right now.
Yeah.
So we'll keep doing it socially distanced because my favorite part is we started the podcast and we were like, it's a video podcast. No one will know. And then I referenced social distance every episode because it became a thing.
Yep.
All right. Well, people need a new topic.
Yeah.
Our last episode will be our episode in person.
Yeah, we will before the pandemic. That's all I'm going to say. Like, we started first. Like,
that's right.
Yeah.
Before it was chic.
I didn't look up this image. I'm doing it right now. There was an auto show.
There was an auto show.
Things were teased. Or they were teased. They were debuted.
Were you at New York?
No, was not in New York. We, you know, auto shows are, I mean, unless it's easy LA, like, we don't really care.
You didn't miss much.
That's why we didn't go. It's so expensive to go for video, especially when you carry a crew of like 3, 4, 5 people. And like, we, you know, you bust your butt to try and turn videos around. Mm-hmm. And unless it's a really big reveal, nobody's interested. And if it is a really big reveal, chances are they're doing it offsite anyway.
At this point, yes. That seems to be the case. Yeah. So, and there were no big groundbreaking reveals this year.
I was born in New York. I love going back to New York. But I'll go for other reasons.
Yes. Unfortunately, this year's New York Auto Show is not a reason to be in the city.
But at least first one back in 2 years, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it definitely felt good to be back. It definitely was like a weight lifted, like, oh, we're back in the Javits Center.
That's great.
You know, and that was nice, but the reveals, it was pretty light on the reveals. There were a lot of people, speaking of video, filming themselves with like the iPhone tripod, and then they'd like hit record pretty much. And run away and mic themselves and then run back and like watch. It was very funny to watch from the bystander's perspective. So one of the few somewhat exciting things is the Telluride's refresh.
Yeah.
It's pretty minor as far as like model refreshes go. And the Telluride's only been out for 3 years? So it's 2019. I should know this. I just reviewed one.
No, 2019. You're correct.
So
this is why I love Lynn.
Yes.
I don't have to Google anything. Lynn knows.
Well, we named it our 2019 model of the year. That was the best new model of the year for Kelley Blue Book. We loved it. Everybody loved it. And then the world shut down.
And then nobody could get a Telluride.
right. Absolutely.
So they revised it. It has slightly new tech on the inside, slightly new front end and an off-road.
I like
trim.
It. Yeah, it I like good. It. I think it looks good. I thought it looked good before. Jury's still out for me on that new Kia look. I still think it's a K and a backwards N.
It is.
That's just me.
Inside baseball stuff. I work in marketing and we had the same conversation saying the exact same thing.
Yeah, I'm an ad gal. And for me, I'm like, I don't see Kia anywhere in that. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So that was one of the few exciting things. Next was the...
Oh, no, I skipped you.
Oh, that's the Palisade. Okay, that's the new Palisade.
I know like the Kia refresh, like great, cool. Telluride basically looks the same. I think they changed a lot on the Palisade. And while the grill is different, the shape of the front end, I think, is overall better.
Okay. I think the shape of the front end is fine, but what the funk with those Outlander lights?
They're trying to do the Cadillac thing where there's the waterfall of lights that start at the top, go past the bodywork, and then connect again with the lights at the bottom.
Yeah, but the lack of integration with the grill is like losing me with that. No, it's that huge space around the perfect, like the rectangle that is the light, and it's totally isolated. If you pull up the Outlander, you'll see the same kind of like, yikes thing happening. What is that?
What bothers me the most is that the top portion of that light that curves and is supposed to match like the curve of the fender flare is a different diameter curve from the fender flare.
Do we get this Outlander?
It's like OCD hell.
That's a fail for me.
Yeah.
I like the front. I like the shape of the front end. I like the like sort of the big boxiness of it. But what is that's the same kind
that's
of
the Outlander.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's what like Mitsubishi Juke.
It's like they messed up and they put the wrong lights on the wrong front end and they're like, whoops, they were too small. Oh well, we already did it. So whoops. Okay, whatever.
That's funny.
I don't like it.
Hey, we're in the age of automotive design where everything kind of drives super similarly. So the automakers have to just throw crap at the wall and see what sticks.
Or they just are like rummaging through the parts bin and they're like, sorry guys, this is all we got.
That too. Like okay. The Segways, like the new Outback, which has the BZ4X.
That's Toyota.
So,
it has the
Solterra. Solterra. It has the Solterra things. Yes.
What is with the cladding? I'm sorry, Subaru and Toyota. This is not the Mask of Zorro. Like, what is that cladding on the front?
It's cheaper than metal.
Yeah. Is it though?
I don't know.
They're grafting plastic into metal.
Yeah, but it's a dye. It just.
You've seen the BZ4X too, right?
It's not good.
I don't know that I did.
It only
looks good in black because you can't see that cladding. You can't see that little weird like
it's like
someone went like this.
And that's why the Lexus that debuted today looks less bad because there's no cladding.
I just can't.
I completely missed this thing.
Oh,
it's fucking heinous. It's so bad.
Hold on.
You guys look at how the cladding cuts into the charger. Like door.
Oh no.
What's that?
Hey, that's Chris. Better. That's better than the Nissan Frontier fuel door that cuts into the fender and they cut it out the fender. Like
at least I knew you were gonna say that.
Can't talk smack about the Frontier.
That's why I didn't not lens today. Here.
The Frontier is great.
Yeah.
The Frontier is great.
Except I forgot about the fuel door and the fender. That's it. That's the only down.
It's like the lights on the Palisade. Oops.
Yeah.
Oh well, no one will notice.
They weren't good.
So let's move on to other subjects. So speaking of Nissan, segues again. Yes. The Pathfinder Rock Creek Edition has debuted.
Yes.
Which
it's is fancy.
Trying to bring the Pathfinder back to something resembling its roots from as long as 10 or 15 years ago. So it gets 18 inch fake beadlock wheels, which is like a spike in the sole. It says off-road tuned suspension, which we don't really know what that means. It'll ride stiffer, but not.
Yeah, we don't know what that means yet, but Lynn will find out at some point.
Lynn will find out.
I assume Lynn developed it.
I can neither confirm nor deny. It gets a lift.
That's how
too.
We know.
So now, instead of the 7.1 inches of ground clearance, you've got about 7.7, I think, in it.
And
7.7.
The Outback Wilderness, for reference, has 9.5.
Yes.
Yeah, the Outback Wilderness looks great, too. I've seen it just out in the wild, and it looks terrific.
Chris sends me pictures of them when he sees them.
Well, because like,
exciting.
I'm in Kansas. Why? Why? And it's one a week.
There's a little wilderness out there.
Yeah.
People want to feel wildernessy.
No, they just bought a nice one and it's good for mountain bikes.
There you go.
Yeah.
We don't have enough snow here to really justify it.
So I think the interesting thing about the Rock Creek, though, is that it's on Toyo AT3s, open country.
That
AT3s.
Honestly, when I heard that, it was very surprising to me because those are the tires I ride on the Montero.
And those are the tires that I have on the GX.
That I have on the Sequoia. They're I just wanted to keep that going. Sorry.
Excellent, excellent, excellent tires.
And very decent tires. I know. I was very happy to hear that.
I was too. I have severe concerns about the gas mileage penalty that the Rock Creek Edition is going to suffer versus the normal versions, because those tires are heavy and fake beadlock wheels are heavy, and lifting a CUV, you know, on a unibody is not going to be friendly for his gas.
Don't think anyone who purchases a Rock Creek is going to be concerned about the 2 or 3 MPGs that they lose. They want the look, they're going to get it, it'll be fine.
I'm more concerned about it being like 5.
I mean, I think it looks really good though.
It looks awesome. I saw it in person, and it, like, if you see a Pathfinder on the street, the only way that you have like that presence feel around it is from the back, because it's got the high tail lights that go across. And this thing in person, like, has a stance to it, you know?
Nice.
So we'll see. And then our final little piece of news is just something I want to have relayed. And if Chris can bring this picture up, it's hysterical. The UTV driver guys have weighed the 2022 Polaris RZR Pro R, the 2-seater, not the 4-seater, so the small one, and it weighs 2,301 pounds.
What?
Yes, that is right. The Polaris RZR Pro R weighs effectively as much as the Mazda Miata.
What have they put in it? A fridge?
A 4-cylinder, 2-liter engine. And enormous.
So a
tires.
Bigger engine than the Miata, isn't that a 1.6 or whatever?
It's 1.6 overseas. Here it's a 2.
Okay.
I should know this. I'm driving one, and
tells you how often I'm in a Miata.
Yeah, so it's fucking heavy, which is, I mean, 2,300 pounds is crazy, because
the whole point of those vehicles is like lightness.
Nimbleness and
yeah, like fun. So
like power to weight ratio, like supreme. What the heck?
Well, I mean, it has 230 horsepower, so it's not slow.
Oh, okay.
But in 2010, the state of Massachusetts, with their like public off-road parks, instituted a law that said nothing over 1,000 pounds was allowed to ride on the trails. At that time, the Polaris RZR weighed 999 pounds, conveniently.
Right.
It has since, in its highest trim, more than doubled in weight, which is not something the Miata can say. The current Miata is like spitting distance with the NA.
Yeah.
So we've, I don't know if it's like a jump the shark kind of thing, or we are just like way off the deep end, but 2,300 pounds is just
seems excessive for one of those things.
Yes, can confirm. So. That's all I have. Chris, what's going on with you?
Vans.
Vans?
So many Vans.
Not the shoes?
Not the shoes.
Maybe the shoes?
I did get Van mountain bike handlebar grips. I just haven't put them on the bike yet. They're Vans.
You should start a website called Only Vans.
That is amazing. It's like bring a trailer, but it's only for expedition vans.
That's so good, Lynn. I'm sorry.
You can keep that. You can use it.
Oh,
I want to text the marketing department right now.
No, you do not.
Do it. Only Vans. Same typeface.
This exactly. is an extremely questionable Googling that I'm about to be doing now.
Dude, incognito mode's there for a reason. What are you doing?
Somebody owns the domain.
Oh, Rath. Smart. Okay.
I guess we'll have to settle for like it's van time also. Like it's
camperized vans.
Do what?
It says camperized vans. I don't know what that means, but I clicked it and now I'm.
Oh, now you're.
Yeah, it's
so.
Now you're posed.
I will talk on one thing about vans real fast, because that Hyundai, what was it? Staria?
Oh, the one that came out today.
Oh, yeah. That has like lay flat seats and stuff. That looks so cool.
Yeah, it looks so cool if you're Lynn size.
everything's big enough for me.
Right. But like that is, I looked it up. Oh, I'm about to. I looked it up. The top of that awning, or the top of the pop top when it's lowered, is only 6'3". So that edge of that awning there is not, I can't stand under the awning.
Dude, this is made for people in Korea, not you.
Right, I know, but like the
average American is also
I know I'm not about
average Americans. Also, the average American man is 5'10" tall.
Correct. Like, and that's Ross is normal size. Like, I'm not. But the point, I guess the point, the Twitter thread that I got attached to was like, why don't more car companies do minivan campers? And that's the reason, like, people don't fit. Like, this is maybe two people max that get involved with one of these things. And
how many people you want taking it?
Yeah, I have to take six.
Okay, you're next level, like RV land.
I'm not that far away from
six people.
Average Americans, 2.3 kids.
You're not your products, like, Chris.
Right, but that you're making my point for me. They were like, why don't more companies do it? It's like, because there's not that many people that actually would use it.
Chris, there's not that many people who have that many kids.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
They're crazy.
There's got to be a
Midwest. Come to the Midwest.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's your retirement vehicle or your pre-kids vehicle, like your pre-kids adventure vehicle. Right.
So my pre-kid adventure vehicle would be Robbie DeGraff's Subaru, his 9.2X that has a cargo box. Like, that was...
You can't, but you're not...
You don't have average, money, pre-kids. Like,
you're not the average bear, right?
I mean, I'm not.
You're like the guy who like would get all the things, but for like a normal, like a family, it's like, let's just go to the Grand Canyon. I mean, that's great.
Oh, yeah. The average family isn't trying to, you know, spend the weekend in Fort Lauderdale. The average family is like...
Yeah.
Trying to drive through yellow.
But I get it. I mean, listen, volume, the whole volume thing and the whole, like, how many people are going to buy it thing is such an interesting, like litmus test for me. The Toyota Supra is another perfect example. What Supra now is saying, oh, guys, guess what? Like, we're coming out with a manual. And it's like, look,
no one bought it in the first place.
You guys are jerks. Like, you can't do that to your base customers. Like, that's so. So to me, I just feel like there's like that whole, like, who's gonna buy this, how many people are gonna buy this, and how the auto companies like hedge their bets on that kind of stuff is really interesting to me. I don't know. Yeah. They obviously do tons of research and spend crap loads of money on it, but it doesn't make any sense when. No, Toyota does Toyota things. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's the same thing. They look at the numbers, they crunch them, and they go, yeah, no.
Yeah, that was the one time I was in Dearborn and we had a lady talk to us and her title was just futurologist. I was like, is there a department? And she's like, no, it's just me. And I was like, for the entire Ford Motor Company.
Does she have a crystal ball in her office?
Yeah, right.
There were so many, like, that'd she did a awesome presentation, and her presentation was full of like psychic themed like things. I was like, at least she's leaning into it.
If I were that lady, my expense reports would be like psychic medium meetings and tarot readings. Oh, yeah. And
you got to go to the crystal lady too.
This and that. That's really funny. Futurologist. I love it.
That was her title. I wonder.
I feel like I could be one of those in my next life. Futurologist.
Great business card.
The opposite to them is a pastacist, right? I mean, right. Like,
like the past is destined, like, to repeat itself.
I'm just going to always look behind me at what was.
Right. Just like people buying bigger and less fuel efficient vehicles over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we could have avoided. But the business card for the futurologist has to be a hologram.
Right.
So her title has adjusted because now it's chief futurist.
No.
Yeah.
That's even better.
She's a real person at Ford and she's amazing from what I can tell. So
CFO, chief futurist officer.
She didn't get officer. She's just chief futurist.
She's still C-level. That's amazing.
It's great.
Was that Dave last week that we were talking about the three-letter abbreviations?
Oh, yes. Yes. Where we ended up as in Richard Jokes adjacent.
Yes. Chief futurologist.
Except he didn't say it. Richard. He went.
No. Hi, Dave.
Anyway, okay, Ross, so, what'd you see at New York?
I saw the Bronco Raptor.
Was it huge?
Unbelievably enormous. And I was with Camille, who owns a Bronco. And he was taking me through the rundown of all the things wrong with the Bronco as a Bronco. And then just saying, and also look at these fucking fenders. Like, the fenders don't look any less egregious in person. You know, they're there. So
they're there.
Yeah. Like, it's overwhelmingly like RWE. There. Yeah. So I don't know. It looks good.
I mean, is there a moment in design and engineering when more is just more? Yeah.
Yeah. See, the thing is, like with Jeep, they paint the fender flares. You know, these are just whatever the material they
stuck on.
Mold them. Yeah. So it's that so, is not a Bronco Raptor.
And that's what I was going to clarify for.
We love Lauren.
Yeah, it's Lauren Healy, and well, Funhaver has their own fender flares, and theirs aren't two different colors. It's the same color.
Yeah, no. Shelby Hall, look up Shelby Hall, because so Shelby just got some mods done to her Bronco, and I'm not as huge a fan of the fenders that she did. It's not as good. I like Lauren's. I think that looks great.
Lauren was a great guest. We had such a great time with Lauren.
Lauren? Oh my God. He's like one of the nicest dudes. And he's really gracious. Like, he remembers you, or he at least says he remembers you, even if he really doesn't.
That's great people skills. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. I remember you.
Those look like rock blocks, mud flaps. Just like, I unpopped a few rivets and popped the new ones on.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that look.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been my first choice.
No, same.
But to be honest, the factory ones on the Bronco Raptor also wouldn't be my first choice. So.
No.
True. And I mean, there are some states in which you have to have fender flares that cover the outside limits of the tires.
So. Kansas is not one of those states. Or you're we don't allowed, police
what, it. Wow, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah.
You're not allowed stance.
No stance.
You can definitely stance in Canada.
No Carolina no squat. Stance. No stance.
No stance allowed in this state. That's a super weird law, but okay.
The best, super weird thing to even like have in the world. It's like, no, you can't do that.
Some of the best discussions I've seen lately are guys who are like, wait, they had to outlaw the Carolina squat? Like, they just wouldn't let those idiots ruin that on their own? Like,
well, oh God, can of worms. But like,
yeah,
the Carolina squat thing is that if you're sitting, you know,
yeah, you literally can't
perpendicular to the road, you can see what's in front of you. If you're sitting angle of the sky, you can't see anything except the sky. That's it. Like,
oh, somebody should do the, how many kids can you not see in front of your Cadillac Escalade with a Carolina squat? Oh, fuck. There'd be like 800 kids.
That was 2 weeks ago when all the articles were about how many kids you can't see in front of a 2,500.
That's like 2 years ago, but yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, because it's like 17 toddlers sitting down in front of an Escalade, and the 18th one is the one you can finally see their head.
Mm.
But it's just a ridiculous image with all these kids lined up in front of an Escalade.
Yeah, it's like the trolley problem.
So you saw the Bronco.
Yeah, saw the Bronco. Saw Tacozilla. Speaking of can't seeing anything,
that looks good.
It does look good. In person, it's like, you don't have a scale for it in the pictures, you know, online. Yeah. And you see it in person and it's like, it's got to be like 9 or 10 feet tall. It's like comically large.
It looks like it is the same height as a high roof transit.
Yeah. Yeah. That looks like, I mean, that just, there's probably like 10 too many things on it. I like the graphics. They look good.
The graphics look fantastic.
It could be 25% less camper and still be enough.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of stuff. Like, they could have taken the snorkel off and I'd be
in the problem.
I don't know. There's like I said, there's just like maybe 5 or 10 too many things on it.
I do like it's the side exhaust.
A lot. Side exhaust grafted into the bodywork, always good.
So funny. I mean, but yeah, that one makes sense at least.
It does. The only, like, looking at it in person, the biggest takeaway, other than that it's amazing and they should be building them by the dozen, is that the current Tacoma in stock form isn't exactly light on its feet.
Or I was going to say, I'm going to have to edit that pause.
No, none of them are.
Yeah, I will argue, the Frontier gets out of its own way.
The Frontier is great because the Frontier is not like, well, we could go on. This is talk about a can of worms. But yeah, the Tacoma, whatever.
The 3.5 sucks. The automatic transmission sucks. And this thing is basically just putting an aerodynamic wall in front of it. So like, I don't know, mountains in Colorado, you're going to be doing
this. Is just for looks, though. No one's actually doing this.
No, it was a SEMA build, but it looks so cool.
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, how fun, but this is fantasy land.
I want to know how you know when you splatter something on the wall.
CSI CSI comes to do the crime scene investigation.
Like, it's pre-splatter. Yeah. Like
maybe the art on the wall is splatter. Maybe they created it by splattering food on the wall.
And I felt like the splatter was more of like a 90s vibe, where the outside graphics are like a late 70s, early 80s.
It
does. Vibe.
It has like one of those like Formica countertop, like, like speckled look to it.
Yeah, it's very 90s, right? Yeah. Like, it was very...
So, anyway, so the only other things worth even really mentioning from New York are the Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer got more grand and Wagoneer-y. They're bigger now. You can get an extra.
Oh, but not from the new. Okay, yeah, they're huge.
They were huge to begin with, and more concerningly than the length of them was the weight. And
did you see that? What is it? The Grand Wagoneer L or whatever, yes. Is that the one?
Like, with the
it literally looks like a bus.
It is.
It looks like a school bus. It's ridiculous.
Is it a spy shot or is this real? Did they?
No, these are real. These were.
No, it's real. They drove it up onto a ramp.
There were two of them parked on the floor in New York, and it is so.
Is it? Oh my gosh!
No,
found it.
I'm not an, and never will claim to be like a car designer or artist or anything. Something about the proportions between the amount of like body on the door and the windows, like Suburban looks smaller, and that makes the length look.
Not as long.
I don't know, more proportionate or something. This thing, like, it's fucking huge.
It's the, yeah, it's, I think to me, it's the high belt line. It's the small greenhouse. And then because you see a lot of body, like you're not looking at a whole lot of window. And so you're just looking at a whole lot of car. And then you tack on that extra, what is it? 5 or 6 inches on the butt of that.
The whole thing is a foot longer overall.
Oh my, yeah, it's too big. That's a bus. There you go, Chris. There's your party of six.
Yep. I mean, they drive pretty well, and the 6.4 is good, but it's a good thing that they have that Hurricane engine now, and hopefully it's more efficient than the 6.4, because I averaged 9.8 miles per gallon when I had the Wagoneer for a week.
Wow. That's...
No one needs that much car. Where the hell are you parking that thing?
Jeez, you're not.
My garage.
Your garage?
What is your garage? Like a plus two, that would not fit in my garage.
No, I live in the Midwest. I live in the Midwest. I have a Midwest sized garage. Like, it's
I live
in the West for the people in Ohio. I live in the West.
More people live in the cities.
Yeah, I could probably count on my fingers and toes the number of cars on sale today that fit in my garage.
Well, like the Kia Carnival is a much better example of something that could move six people around and be efficient,
oh,
be the correct the size. Like, people who
and
don't have
really
kids
cool while you're doing
rave about Kia Carnival. Like, similar, I still haven't driven one.
Similar styling though, with like the belt line that rides just below the windows.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for that fat. It's like, to me, it's like the floating roof line. Like, I can't wait until the high belt line, the small greenhouse goes away.
And it sucks.
Also, it's really crappy. If it's like, this is a vehicle for kids, and you've got a kid in there who's like, I can't even look out of the windows because the windows are like so high. Like, everyone suffers from it. I think Mazda probably suffers from it the worst. The windows are soon going to be like Countach windows where you're like, I don't know.
It's so weird though, because
I think that's a thing.
Chrysler invented it, like with the 300. That was where it started.
Stupid. Anyway.
And then we had the Camaro that made it worse. And then like the JK Wrangler closed off the greenhouse for the TJ.
But it suits the Camaro, because the Camaro is a car that's like, on so many levels, it's sort of stupid, like, right? I mean, it's not a practical vehicle. It's an awesome vehicle, but it's not practical. Of something like the Grand Wagoneer or these are supposed to be practical vehicles.
Yes, and it's especially frustrating because when Jeep brought out the JL Wrangler, they said, look at us, we're bringing the Beltline down, we're making the windows bigger so you can see more. And then now they come, you know, with the Grand Wagoneer, which is like,
yeah,
which so I don't want to do anything in anyone's defense, but like from the inside of the Wagoneer, I felt like the greenhouse was great on the inside. It's just, it looks weird from the outside. Like,
can someone shed some light on the front passenger screen
for the Wagoneer?
Why the hell do we need a front passenger screen? And they're not the only ones doing it. I just drove in the EQS, the Mercedes EQS. Oh, no. They've got one in there.
Didn't Ferrari start it?
Ferrari started it. I'm like, why do you want someone jacking with your music?
Well, like,
don't touch my shit.
Don't.
Well,
you really don't.
All it's done is eliminate the opportunity to slap their hand, because now they can reach out in front of themselves. They don't have to reach to the middle. Like,
I literally call this like the divorce package, because if someone's gonna mess around with my music or like change the settings on the thing, it's like, what are you doing over there? No, get your iPhone. If you're bored, figure it out on your own. Why are you messing around with the driver's stuff? I don't understand.
It's a great point.
You know that line from Jurassic Park, like, just basically, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Like,
well, they spent so much time trying to figure out if they could, they didn't stop to think about it.
They're like, hey guys, let's put another screen in here. I mean, I don't know. I was talking to a colleague about it. He's like, yeah, in 5 years, this like A pillar to A pillar screen thing is going to be like the mutton chop arms of like 1980s wedding dresses. Like, and everyone's going to be like, oh my God, like, why did I wear that?
Yep.
So I'm hoping, again, this is like a thing where like getting it out of our system, like the same thing with like no buttons at all. Like let's just get that out of our system and then move on.
Things that references are
great.
Things that should have never happened, volume one.
Right? I mean, all screens. These are regrets that we look back and we're like, oh God, it's just another thing to.
Right. Can you imagine the fifth owner of a Grand Wagoneer trying to replace the passenger side dash screen?
No, dear. Just use the center one.
Right?
Do you remember to unplug the battery before you started fucking with the airbag? No. Right? Great.
It's gonna cost us $5,000 to fix the passenger. Nope. See ya.
Assume service position.
So silly. Anyway.
Oh God. Okay, that's all with New York. Let's not talk about that until next.
You want to talk about EVs?
No.
I saw Kia EV6 in person today.
Oh, they look awesome.
They're great.
2 days ago.
They look great. That and the Ioniq 5 are really something else. The crazy thing is, I've got all these friends now who are starting to ask me, they're like, oh, tell what's EVs, EVs, EVs. And I'm like, Kia and Hyundai, best products out there. And they're like, Kia?
Yeah.
Hyundai? Uh-huh. I'm not buying one of them. What about the e-tron? I'm like, you can spend a shit ton of money if you want, but these other products are really good, and they're just, people won't have it. But I mean,
maybe they're hoping. Confused with the logo, they don't know it's a Kia.
No, I think they just get confused because they think Kia sounds like it's not a premium.
Well,
I'm in LA, so everybody gets really hung up on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's not 2004. I'm hoping, like,
because the design is great. Like, the goods are there. You know.
What do you think about the styling of the Genesis version of this EV platform that they're doing?
I love everything that Genesis does. The little weird the little weird mouth thing is a little funky to me on the mm-hmm. Oh, is that on the Speedium or whatever it is? Like that new kind of, they've extended the lights go into the grill. That's a little like kitschy, I think. A little kind of like maybe a little gimmicky.
This one, right?
Not that one. If you see, man. It's like, I mean, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I love this one.
That's gorgeous. Yeah, give me two of those.
The GV60.
Yeah, so it has this like on the grill, like the two lines kind of go like this, and there's a light that goes up at the top, and then a light that kind of comes down at the bottom. I mean,
it's a Duelist.
No, that's not it either.
What? It literally says GV60.
No, that is the GV60, but look up the Speedium.
Speedium.
Which is the coolest flipping name of a car in a long time.
That is like 1950s or 30s, right? Like Speedium. Coast filter.
Drive that.
Is it? It's not what I shared before?
No.
The one I shared before is the Genesis X concept.
That's the one that came out.
Yeah.
Like this. Week.
I don't know, like Danger Mike showed it to me, or Mike Danger or whatever.
That thing, that's it. Yeah. Oh, that looks so good. Come on.
Those wheels look like the OCD person's night pair.
But look at that. You guys, that looks like something Mercedes would put out. That's
it does. Beautiful. South Koreans.
So, but I do think that there's just like a little bit of like, it's like the mouth that goes like this.
it's got a little baleen whale at the bottom, like
it's a little funky. I probably, if I was going to extend that line, I probably would have just extended the two, like completely wrapped it around the front instead mm-hmm. of doing the little like V down here to mimic the grill. But
yeah,
I'm not going to complain about that ever.
God no. It in a weird way reminds me of Ralph Lauren's crazy Mercedes thing that he has. I can't even remember what it's called.
Is it the one from iRobot? No, that was an Audi.
Yeah, it's like these long-nosed like concept cars, like like Mercedes or like the Aston Martin 177. That's like ridiculous. Like these just big, huge, like long nose,
SLR,
like front engine, redonkulous things that are just gorgeous.
Oh.
It just asks Ross, so many questions.
Wasn't the SSK I was expecting. It's like an old car.
Other SSK there is.
No, I put in his name also in my
search. Yeah, no, the black one with the huge like over fender things. It's batshit crazy, but something about that Genesis reminds me of it. But yeah, I don't know. The GV60. So I would argue that cars that Genesis is making look better than any of the Hyundais or Kias, but the Hyundai and Kia electrics look better than the Genesis.
Yeah, electric. I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, I like it, I think, but I'm just predisposed at this point to liking kind of anything new, just because I feel like, okay, they've bought currency with me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they make good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That X concept, that like, if that was an actual car, like, what's up?
Here's my money. Like, if I had the money, I'd buy that. Like, I'd buy that over an e-tron. I'd buy, or the e-tron GT. I'd buy it over, like, I'd buy that over a lot of really expensive stuff.
So that makes more of a statement than like an S-Class coupe, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like the Cruella de Vil mobile. It's badass.
I didn't. Yeah. I didn't see that reference coming from you, Ross. I just didn't see.
I'm just preparing myself, Chris. Just preparing. Okay. Anyways, let's skip my shenanigans and we can touch on them next time.
Okay.
So let's go to more interesting things. So Lynn has been up to quite a lot.
It's been a busy time.
Well, since you've been on the show, I'm fairly certain you've been to Dirtfish. You've been to Saudi Arabia. You did a rebel since we've last talked. Like, where do you want to start?
Let's talk about Saudi Arabia. That's where I want to start.
Obviously. Okay, great.
Tell us everything, please.
Yeah. So like 3 weeks before the alleged event was supposed to happen, we got a call and from Emily Miller, who is She obviously, that's me with camels, you guys. Camels are like cows in Saudi. You just see them everywhere.
They smell as bad?
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't know. I didn't get close enough because I think they spit. And I was like, I'm not even going to try that.
Awesome.
Hard enough.
But yeah, so we were asked, like, the government of Saudi, as well as these guys, this guy, you know, Hassan Jameel, who is like a billionaire and owns, like, they basically own his company, Abdul Latif Jameel. They basically own Toyota distribution in Saudi Arabia. And yeah, and they're like, listen, you know, women are starting to learn how to drive and we want to support women doing cool stuff. And they saw the Rebel and they were like, this looks really cool. Like, let's do that here. And they were like, okay, great. How does 3 weeks sound? And where everyone's like, okay. Cause you can just do that in Saudi, right? You don't have to get like land permits from the BLM and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, so they asked us, so that's me and Sedona. That guy holding the flag is, that's Hassan Jameel. We love him because he used to date Rihanna.
Oh my God.
We were like, oh my God, we met a guy who dated Rihanna. Like, that made us feel really cool.
Not where I saw that sentence going.
I know, right? But that's what chicks do. So
that's like, okay. Ross and I do that with like automotive people. Like, we're one away from Seinfeld, or we're one away from Leno. Right? Like, you guys are like, we're one away from Rihanna.
Yeah. Riri.
I'm two away from Rihanna.
There you are. So,
like, I'll pay attention to that.
So yeah, so Emily, Emily wanted to kind of, they asked if she knew of some teams who would be willing and interested in going and competing and supporting this event. And, you know, listen, Saudi Arabia is not without its controversy as far as its government is concerned and how things are kind of handled, human rights issues and all of those kinds of things. But, you know, listen, I think progress is progress happens. It happens more slowly than some of the rest of us would like, but that's not up to us, right? Mm-hmm. Things don't necessarily happen in my time. And so I, you know, Emily basically opened up the opportunity to rebels who had competed in all six rebels. And while that is not me personally, that is my teammate. And she did not have one teammate consistent throughout the whole thing. I'm the closest thing she's got. And and we were like, yes, hell yes, we would love to do that. So yeah, she actually did not have a passport. Look at us there. She did not have a passport at the time. So she had to get like an emergency passport. And so that's us with the other two American teams. That's Emmy Hall and Rebecca Donaghy. You guys know them. Damn. And then to my, like, if you're looking to my right, that is Dana Saxon and her daughter, Susie Saxon. So Dana has done all 6 years. And then Emmy and Rebecca have also done all 6 years. So this was really about like, because there's so many teams could have invited, right? I mean, there's like probably 20 teams who could have gone and represented, but she decided that the people who had been, you know, full-time 100% rebels would get the first crack at it. And so, yeah, so all three of our teams, we all kind of agreed, like, this is a wonderful opportunity, to support these women, some of whom we knew were like, just gotten their driver's license, like, a month or a year before. I mean, let's not even talk about like how much wheeling I've done, but literally like just gotten their driver's licenses. And so the pack of us flew out there and, you know, there were so many things like, oh, we'll get you a car. Oh no, you need a car. Oh, take camping gear. Cause there's there's a bivouac, but so it was really kind of like, we had no idea what to expect. So we kind of expect like, planned for the worst and for the craziest thing. So we took our air compressors and we took our Max Tracks with us and we took like all kinds of stuff. You know, Wagon Tech, like they sponsored Sedona and I, and they were like, here's an air compressor and here's a this. And so it was just really funny that we've got all this gear basically. And you know, we got out there, and so the rules were really interesting. They used rule books from they kind of like patched some rule books together,
piece things into what they wanted.
Dakar, exactly, from Dakar, but then like cross country Baja.
And Dakar was in Saudi Arabia.
Dakar was in Saudi. So yeah, Saudi's really trying very hard to open up to tourists. Motorsports are becoming very, very important. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Formula One was in Jeddah, yeah, like just after we left, which I was so bummed that we missed that. I was like, we should have stayed another week and gone to.
Yes, but also there was, I mean, a bombing of
a bomb
oil field
at an oil refinery, like 10 miles away.
Yeah.
Again, that's part of that, like, controversy. They're still in a war with Yemen, right? I mean, right. So. Like if you go on to the government, to the US government, like list of places not to go, like is on that list. But I talked to someone who I have a friend in the State Department, and I talked to him about it. And he's like, don't go to Yemen. Don't go to the Yemen border,
right?
But you're fine. Like, and truly, and we had friends, I don't know if you've had the Desk to Glory guys on your show.
Yeah, multiple times.
Ashley Giordano. And
they're scheduled again.
They're scheduled for a week from right now.
Yeah.
They'll tell you the same thing then, because they just spent a lot of time in Saudi after the Dakar. And they were like, the people there are just lovely and fabulous. And that's, we experienced the same thing. I mean, we had a couple of days before the rally started, and we spent them in Heil, which Heil is like a, who knows? Oh, this is Sedona's awesome little story, yes, about it.
I might have missed it. I just found it on Hooniverse, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to show that.
Holy cow.
It was on the homepage of the site you write for.
She wrote a great story about it, and she kind of wrote it because it's like, this was a rental car, and it's like, okay, like let's rent a car and rally it in Saudi. So you know, the rules were kind of weird because it was mostly Dakar rules, but they took speed out of it so that you could use a regular vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of having a roll cage and it being a race car, they wanted to open it up to more women to make it more accessible. So then they added some time, speed, distance challenges to kind of make it a little bit more challenging. And I mean, we were in this, so this car that we were in was a Toyota Fortuner, which I had never even heard of that. I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's
the world version of the Highlander.
Yeah. So, okay. So it's way cooler looking than a Highlander as far as I'm concerned. It's kind of a Highlander, but it's on a Hilux chassis. So your body on frame here, yeah, you're not unibody. I feel like if you lifted this like an inch and you put some like sick tires on it, it would look great. Like I thought this was really impressive. So we thought we were getting the V6. We didn't. They slapped us with a 4-cylinder. That has that old Toyota 5-speed automatic.
Oh no.
And I was like, this thing is a pig. Like, this thing is so bad. And we're driving in the dunes in Saudi. Like, oh, gears? Shit.
You want a different gear?
And we were on, I'll get back, we were just on the regular tires. We didn't have tires. It was a rental car. We just,
so
we had a spare and that was it.
With Rebel, you've done, I mean, dunes and all the terrains in between out there, but there were also, if I remember correctly, a few like stretches of tarmac in which you had to get from point to point just,
yeah,
to,
there's transit. There are always transits in these events because you're kind of doing some days you're doing an out and back and you'll like camp in the same spot, mm-hmm, but then you transit because you're kind of going down the road of the whole course. But yeah, so there's always tarmac. Yeah, I mean, we're driving in this like, oh, basically God, on like these crappy, I want to say they were, oh, what were they,
like triangle brand tires or something?
They were bad. They were they were not good anyway. But you know what, we made it work, and I'm so familiar. The great thing about my job is I get in and out of, you know, different vehicles, and I know engines and transmissions. And so it's really easy for me to kind of make adjustments on the fly and, mm-hmm, and get to know vehicles quite quickly. So So, you know, we did pretty well. I mean, the first day there were some, we had some issues with the rule book as far as like penalties and like time, because they just didn't really explain things all that well. So we got a few penalties just for like showing up a little bit early to a time control.
TSD stuff coming in. Yeah.
Well, it was just, this wasn't even a TSD. This was like driving to get to the off-road part of the thing. There was no, it was just weird. Yeah. it was new and we didn't know about it. But after that, like we figured it all out. And after that, I mean, there were no penalties and we were great. We ended up, we won the third stage, which was fantastic. We were really, really proud of that. And we came in fifth overall. We were the first American team. We placed first among the American teams. And it was an incredible event. I mean, some of the women that we met, look at those.
That's on screen again.
Yeah. I felt it that time. I felt the disturbance in the force. I was trying to get the results.
That's so funny. So we met some incredible women who, I think a lot of people said like, oh, this is just a publicity stunt, or they're just doing this for optics. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care, because they've opened up Pandora's box. And here's the thing. Once you open up that box, you can't stuff all of that stuff back in there. And these women are like, we're ready to do this. We've been ready for the last however many years. And they've got a taste of it now. And they're just like, more, 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 more. Bring it. Yep. I met one team. She drives a Jeep. The driver drives a Jeep. And she's like, I'm in a Jeep club. And we have 50 members who are in there. And we all our like Jeep waves. And I'm just like, yeah, like bring it on.
That's awesome.
And you'd be really, really surprised. Like a lot of people ask me, did you feel safe? Like, so we would walk around the town, we would go into grocery stores and people would ask us like, oh, are you from America? Like they were so excited to see us and to meet us, and really warm and welcoming. I mean, Saudi is just, tourism is very new to them. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of like a novelty, and these people are just like inviting us to their home for, oh, you must come and please, like, oh, what, you know, where can we show you around? Like, I mean, they're just these lovely
this
people.
Like just perpetuates the idea of like, person is smart, people are stupid, you know.
People are not their governments.
Exactly,
you know? People are not their governments. And I think for the most part, people are just good.
Yeah,
they want to, they're doing their best, they are good. And you know, I think so many things become misconstrued and become twisted around. And when you go to actually meet people, like it's a whole different, and you're just like, whoa, like this is a whole different thing that I didn't expect. It was a wonderful experience. I have never, ever been more proud. I get choked up even when I just talk about it. The fact that I got to represent the United States in an event like this, in a place like Saudi, meant so much to me. Mm-hmm. I love my country. I love how fortunate I am that I get to live here, and to be able to represent the United States was a very, very proud moment for me.
It's amazing. It really is.
It was very, very cool.
We've had plenty of big waves of positive change and social change in America, and now seeing people here help make that happen elsewhere is like, it's the best, you know.
Yeah,
it's really the best.
Yeah, so
it's a snowball effect.
Snowball
effect is an ironic thing to say about a place that's mostly desert, but
yeah,
you know.
But you know, I change is so interesting because it's a slow moving glacier. But we get there eventually, and we may not see things in our lifetimes, and that's okay, because we're all getting to the same place eventually.
Mm. Yeah. You helped put the flag in the ground.
That's special. And that was really special. I mean, that was really the first all women's motorsports event in Saudi. I mean, that's like,
it's wild.
It was a big deal. It was really cool.
Yeah. It's Chris, go ahead.
I was gonna pivot. It's not as good. I was gonna ask, like, what was the 300 series like? Did you get to poke around it at all?
Oh, in this? Yeah. Okay. So I have a fun story about this. So this car, the number 10 car, this was driven by a woman named Dania Akil. She's like a hero in Saudi because she is a rally champion. She drives the T3 class in Dakar and in the Baja, the cross country Baja series. And so they invited her to participate in the rally. And normally she drives little Can-Am cars. I mean, she's in very lightweight, very high powered cars. And so this was the first time that she had driven that beast of a thing.
Oh my God.
And
a Land Cruiser.
that's a huge change. And so we got in some soft dunes on the third day and she had some trouble. And she kind of got into a spot like over a berm that she just did not, like, she really didn't spot it. And then she was like, oh gosh, like, then tried to get out of it. And literally, like, Sedona and I came up on her and the car was like sticking up like this, front passenger wheel, just out in space, spinning. And she's like dug in somehow with the three other wheels. Sedona and I, where we like park our little piece of shit Fortuner, we grab our little mini Max tracks because we didn't even bring the big,
we're like, oh, you got the like little folding ones?
Fine.
Yeah.
The tiny little ones. And we're like, okay. And we run over to her and she's like, I need someone to tow me out. And I'm like, oh girl, you're fine. You don't need a tow. You're fine. And she's like standing there watching us. And she's like, what are these chicks doing? And we're like digging out the back wheels and we're jamming the little mini Max tracks under there. And she's like, I have no power. And that's what we're like, well, because it's all going to that wheel. Like, that's why you have no power. So we're like building up the sand under that one. We put another team's like Max tracks underneath that front wheel. So all of a sudden now she's got power. And I was just like, okay, now here's what you do. You don't saw the steering wheel, just go straight back, like, period, go straight back. So she does, she ends up burying one of our Max tracks in the sand. I mean, it's gone. It's like halfway to China down there. And so she backs up and now she's like, oh, she's like, now what do I do? And there was this tiny other little berm that had like kind of there's a lot of barbed wire fences that are no longer fences there, but I'm like, okay. I'm like, you just drive right up here. You just gun it and you bomb over this little thing. And she was like, okay. And she did that. And we ended up getting her out of there. And she was just like, I can't believe you guys stopped and did that and helped me. And I'm like, that's what we do. Like, that's how we rally, girl. Like, and it was so neat because it was such a surprise to her. Men don't do that during, you know, the thing. If you're stuck, someone's like, nah, you know, like, smell you later.
Cue the video of like hammers with people climbing over each other.
Right. But this was like, it was so neat. Yeah. She's such a super cool woman. I interviewed her, the story that I wrote in the New York Times. And boy, I mean, she's groundbreaking. She's breaking barriers and shattering ceilings all over the Middle East. I'm so excited for her. And she's like an old soul, but she's super young. Like, she said to me, she's like, oh, she's like, I really envy like women who are my mom's age. And I was like, I'm your mom's age. Because she said, she's like, they can really understand and they really appreciate the significant change that's going on here. A lot of the younger women are just like, oh no, this is normal. And they don't know how, like, they just don't appreciate how much it means because they're accustomed to it now, right? Which is great. But she was very, very cool lady. I really enjoyed meeting her a lot. Super cool, like, consummate professional.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Badass driver too. And tall. Oh. She's like 6'2". Just like gorgeous 6'2" woman. Like, yeah. She was rad.
Tall for us normal people.
For me, I mean, yes.
For a woman, 6'2" up there.
Yeah.
Not a lot of tall women. Uh-oh.
Didn't let we me have a freeze.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you're back.
Oh, there you go.
Frieza's unfroze.
I can clip that. Do we want to go to something else that's all-wheel drive?
I mean, I could tell you really fast about Dirtfish. I don't know if you guys have ever been.
I have not.
Is Dirtfish the one in New Hampshire or Washington?
It's in Washington.
Which is the one in New Hampshire?
Team O'Neill.
Team O'Neill, thank you.
Yeah, there's another one. I want to go to all of them.
Rally Ready's in Texas. Team O'Neill's in.
Yeah,
Rally. Let's go to Team O'Neill.
Rally Dave, right?
Texas Dave.
Dirtfish, like Dirtfish has been on my bucket list for a really long time. And like in March, it's, you know, international, you know, month of women or whatever, Women's History Month in March. And oh my gosh, mask I hated on. That I had to wear a mask. I was just really super bummed about that, just because like you want these things to kind of last forever, and that just clearly dates the stuff. But I had this killer instructor who, he's like the head of instructor people. Emmy and I went, we're idiots.
Love it.
That's our guy, Nate. Was that? Yeah, he's amazing. So we did the rear wheel drive in the BRZs, and you guys, it lives up to the hype. I mean, 100% lives up to the hype. They're so good. Like I learned so much, and you kind of figure out so much about weight transfer and left foot braking. And, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of track driving, and like line choice is so different when you're rally driving versus when you're driving on a track. Like you're not just even looking for the shortest distance, you're looking for the distance with the, like the line with the most traction. And so like, it was just this whole new kind of world that opened up and was just super cool. I loved every second of it. I wanted to do like 10 more days in a row. It absolutely like changed the kind of the driver that I am, which I love, and I'm definitely a better driver because of it, and I can't wait to go back.
Looks and sounds like a fantastic time.
Yeah, it was great. And then you slap in Emmy Hall with it, and you're just like, oh, this is off the chain ridiculous.
Yeah,
we love Emmy.
But yeah, they did. So Dirtfish originally offered it up as like, hey, we're doing an all women's course. And I was like, that sounds really cool. That sounds great. The first one filled up so fast that they opened up another one. They ended up doing, I think, 10 of them.
That's,
yeah,
all women. And so, that to me is like, that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Women get behind that wheel and like learn how to drive and better your skills. And there's just, I just love that. It was so cool. Yeah, so super cool. It was a great experience. I had a lot of fun.
I feel like one of the other rally schools does a similar, I think it's Team O'Neill. They also do like women only, because dudes mess things up. Like we just. Well,
dudes, here's the thing about dudes, and you'll talk to any driving instructor and they'll say the same thing. Dudes come in thinking they know everything. Women come in thinking, I don't know anything. And so the difference between men and women is men are like, I'll show you how skilled I am. And women are just like, please teach me. Yeah. Women are so infinitely teachable. And for the most part, like, don't have like that kind of like bravado about their skill level. Even if they're good, you know, they'll just be like, oh, I'm okay. You know, I'm a decent driver. And then suddenly you're like, are you flipping kidding me?
It's
like
just sliding around the
floor. Like you're doing J turns out there. Like, what the hell?
Oh, God. Oh, frozen again.
I think like women are just more like open to kind of hearing feedback and suggestion. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
This is true. So let's go to O'Neill. I know where it is. It's like 20 minutes from where we go quadding, like twice a year.
Do it. Highly recommended.
We'll take one of these.
Let's do it.
Oh, yes. You guys.
You touched it. So
you I also touched it. I sat in it.
Most of the time, like Toyota will do stuff that's stupid that I don't agree with. You guys, this is a Toyota product that I could 100% put my money down on.
I know three people who have.
So and I haven't even driven it yet.
Close friends with three people who have 500 down on this thing.
So you see, Toyota,
Corolla, GR hatch?
GR Corolla. It's the GR Corolla.
Okay.
Do you guys see the first comment there, Misha Corolla. Periphery?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So that guy, he's in a band called Periphery. He's like, it's like a metal band. I've never heard the band, but he and I are friends.
As somebody who listens to metal, I can recommend.
Okay, great. I believe you. I think he's a great, probably a great guitarist. But like I said, metal's not my jam. I'm more into like 80s pop. But he drives a 991 Porsche GT3 Touring.
Okay.
He also
okay.
Not slow.
No, he currently has a McLaren. He drives a 720S Spider, which he is now trading for the
Corolla GR hatch.
He's trading it for the speed. Is it the Speedtail?
Speedtail.
Sure.
Yes. Like
260 mile per hour car or whatever.
Yes, he's trading it for that. He also just bought the Defender 90 with the V8 with the Carpathian package. So this guy is a car guy.
Where's my
calendar? This car is like this guy is like bananas, and he's literally like, I need one of those. He's
well, if he can afford those things, he can afford like six of these.
Dude. Well, he said, he's like, I need a car that I can just kind of bomb around town in. And I'm like, this is your, Huckleberry yeah. right here. Like, and I just got to, listen, I didn't get to drive it, but I did get to kind of shift it and just like move it around in this little space. It sounds great. Shifts are super smooth. Like throws are short. Oh. Like it just, there's nothing there. I can't find anything wrong with it yet.
It's a three-cylinder. Three cylinders always yeah. sound so good.
Yes.
Like,
and
raspy little motorcycles. Like
Misha will tell you why three cylinders sound good is because the pitch, like the distance of like pitch, it's like why 5 and 10 cylinder cars sound good too. He went through this whole thing and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. That sounds good. But he literally like, he said all the stuff, but it was great. And so like I said, I've yet to find anything wrong with this. And this is the circuit edition. So the circuit edition has like the extra like doodads. It's got like that rear spoiler. It's got the bulge on the front
scoop thingy.
Hood with the little, the extra air intakes. Yep. And I mean, listen, if money was no object, here, take it, take my money.
Yep, definitely.
And by the way, Supra, it comes only as a manual.
Right. Which now we know.
Oh.
And Toyota was very keen with their social media advertising this past week.
Yeah.
What was the phrase? What was it? It was it we're not done yet or something like that?
With what? Which one?
With the manual Supra.
Listen, they've screwed their early adopters so badly. First with the under V6, and now with this, I'm like, you guys, that's lame.
They did it all backwards with Supra.
Totally. They totally did it backwards. They screwed it up. And why? Because they're chasing Nissan because of the Z. That is shame. That's so lame. And I'm really mad at them.
They need a chief future officer.
It doesn't take a crystal ball.
It doesn't.
I'm really just primitive Googling is saying that 80% of BRZ and GR86 purchases are manual. 80%.
WRX is higher than that. WRX take rate on the manual is like 95% or 85%. It's ridiculous.
It's not a good stick. Just throwing that out there.
Which one?
The manual WRX.
It's the new one?
Yeah.
Dude, I loved it.
What?
Highly disagree with you.
This is one of the most divisive cars in the last like.
Yeah, I mean, because people don't like how it looks. I'm fine with how it looks. I loved how it drove. Yeah. I actually drove the Civic Si with the manual, like not too not too soon.
Jeff told us was excellent.
It's excellent. I like the WRX better.
I felt like I could go very, very fast in the WRX with almost no driving consequence, but I didn't get any like anything back from it.
Okay, fair enough, but fuck, I loved it. I literally asked Dominic, I'm like, how do I get my hands on a long-term one of these?
I saw Dominic on last Wednesday, actually.
Nice.
We were hanging out in the Radwood exhibit.
So that's...
Oh, nice.
That's yet another person that all three of us know and talk to.
Like, I like how that looks. The only thing that they did that was stupid on here is the cladding on the wheel arches. But other than that, it's fine.
That's my smallest problem with the car. segues, since I know that we have like only 10 or 15 minutes left. Is saying the cladding on the WRX is the least problematic thing about it, like saying the engine is the least interesting thing about the TRX?
Ooh.
Chris, how's that for a segue?
That's a good segue.
It took us 100 plus episodes, but we finally gotten segues down.
Because Lynn and Jeff just compared Raptor and TRX.
Yes. Okay, so on that one, I feel like it was really not a fair comparison for a couple of reasons. First, that was a great day. We got to jump trucks, which is always fun. And I get to give him shit, which is also always fun. He's one of my favorite people in this business, and I love it.
That's also one of our pastimes.
Giving Glucker shit.
Yes.
He's great. And Emmy and I are just like, he has matinee idol hair and he's like so perfect and amazing. So here's, in my opinion, it was not a level playing field. So I did the Raptor drive. We were in, we went to Dumont Dunes, and I really, really, really got a chance to really just work the crap out of that truck. Mm-hmm. I mean, high speed, like washboard, high speed whoops, like big dunes driving. And I really, really got to put it through its paces. The TRX, I did not have an opportunity to do that. So I really didn't feel the suspension working in the same way that I did the Raptor. So for me, the Raptor is still like number one. Do I need that much horsepower in a big ass truck like that? I don't know, because I don't Raptor R to compare it to at this point. So for me, it was a really tough one. If I had to pick, I would right now, as it stood, pick the Raptor just because I have more information on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably completely opposite to what, you know, I think Johnny Lieberman would probably come in here and slap my face and be like, you're wrong, and then walk away.
Yeah.
But he's also been able to drive it under different conditions than I have. I don't want to pick one of the two of them without having them on level playing field, which means waiting for the V8 and getting them both like in those crazy, like, circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny would come in and say, you're all wrong by a Rivian, but it's not perfectly apples to apples.
Like, but he loves the TRX. He absolutely loves the TRX. I think he has had a long-term one for quite a while. And the TRX was their follow vehicle when they did that, you know,
awesome trip.
Drive-a-palooza with the Rivian. Yeah. So,
he's
really, I mean, he's a huge fan of the TRX. And I know that like the geometry of it is great. And the suspension is very specifically designed and tuned for that vehicle. But like I said, I have not been able to really get it in a spot where I feel comfortable like testing it to its fullest.
You have to have an extremely specific set of circumstances in which you can.
Yeah. And I did that. I got to do that with the Raptor, and thank you Ford for putting us for such a good program in order to really get as like squeeze as much juice out of that thing as possible. I did not go on the TRX program. So really hard for me to tell.
That's fair. That's fair.
Russ, who did we talk to that like dropped a TRX off a ledge? Was that Everyday Driver?
It was allegedly Todd. Allegedly. Everyday Driver, allegedly.
All right.
And I don't think it was necessarily dropped a TRX off a ledge as much as it was landed a T-Rex on the ledge.
Yikes. That sounds funny. Not something I want to do.
If you watch their video, there are some cuts in that video in which the T-Rex is bashed to hell and some in which it is perfectly fine.
Lynn's face on how high the truck is in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. They look like they had a fucking great time. But notice all the pictures are from the back, except the ones from front are a fall.
That's pretty, there's some damage there.
They
land darted. What did they do? Oh, they did. Okay. I mean, comment. Sure, why not?
So, speaking of unnecessarily enormous and overpowered vehicles, the GMC Hummer EV.
Oh my God. Okay. We just need like a whole show for that. I'm going to sneeze.
You can do that.
You're welcome.
Isn't it?
Hang on.
That's the response that the GMC Hummer EV.
No. It's we're done. We're not sneezing. Okay, so the GMC Hummer, they call it a super truck. Did you go on the drive?
Nope.
No.
Okay, look at how big that thing is. And that's like fully, now that is like fully like it like deployed as far as like the ride height goes. That is not extract mode, incidentally. Extract mode is a really cool thing where it will rise up another, I want to say 6 inches from what this is.
Wait.
But you're fully extended, right? So your shocks are like, there's no rebound on your shocks. So you're not going anywhere. You're just literally like raising up to get out of a gross, like a high center or a bad situation. So listen, it has some amazing tech on it. Crab walk is super cool. All these EV trucks and big vehicles are getting rear wheel steering. This one happens to be 10 degrees in the back and you can like basically like drive diagonally, which is a super cool feature. So it drives a lot
better. It's terrifying.
It drives a lot than you would think, which is great. It makes it nice and maneuverable. It's way overpowered. It's 1,000 horsepower, I think. And they say something like 11,000 pound-feet of torque, which they do it like creatively where they're doing the torque at each wheel and then they're adding it up, which is horseshit. It ends up being about 100 pound-feet of torque.
Come back. Please. Is she coming?
They're frozen. Am I frozen?
Yeah, and we're back. Bingo.
So, I did. I'm back.
You did cut out 800? Right when you were talking about the individual torque.
Oh, okay. So that was individual torque, but like the whole torque is basically like 1,200 pound feet of torque.
Okay.
But the thing weighs 9,000 pounds. Not a joke. 3,000 pounds of it is battery.
That is
so your momentum when you're driving on the freeway at like 80, 85 miles an hour is like absolutely just like mind-bogglingly insane. And to me, the brakes felt like it was underbraked. It needs more brakes. I mean, just the momentum alone was like, oh my God. Like there were a couple times when I thought, oh, I gotta get on that brake. Like, yeah, I got to get on that like heavier footing.
Does it do a crazy like pitch and nosedive type thing when you brake hard?
I mean, yeah, I mean, that you would get used to, but right out of the gate, you were just like, oh my God, like this is so crazy. They call it a super truck. And if you're comparing that to like a supercar that's like, so it's like super stupid. It's way too fast. It's like, it's so disruptive the way that it looks. And I think, what did I call it in my, it's like, you know, it's basically like bombast on four wheels. Like it's ridiculous. It goes 0 to 60 in like less than 3.5 seconds.
That's so silly.
It's nuts, but that's what a supercar is.
Is this the first super truck? Like,
yeah, technically what I would call a super truck in that way. Does anyone need this thing? No one needs this thing.
What about like the LMO2? Like,
oh, that LM2, like the,
yeah, the Lambo from the Rambo,
the Lamborghini Lambo thing. Yeah, I think that went that fast.
Oh no, it did not. But
you know, that looks the part. Again, this is like the first edition sold out in 10 minutes. $112,000 for the edition one.
It's so silly.
It really is.
Is it like good to drive, or is it just so overwhelming between the weight and the power and size? And
yeah, I mean, the interior is like, you know, there's a lot of plastic and a lot, which you want, because like, my God, you have to save weight somehow. Now it kind of feels like a little bit of a novelty item. It's really cool to drive. I mean, people looked like you were driving and people were looking at you. But yeah, I mean, no one's going to take this thing off road, even though there's like sick off road tech on it, and you could like pretty much do anything with it. But yeah.
So would like to reiterate that in 2002, when the H2 came out, it had kind of the same effect.
Yeah.
Like it has all this off road stuff that nobody will ever use. It is unbelievably enormous and heavy and inefficient considering what goes into it. And there's like hysterical cost cutting. So that was this show. We were saying, you know, the past is destined to repeat itself. And
here we are. Here we are now in the electrical space. You know, the one question that I had for GMC was, all right, talk to me, because basically the batteries are stacked, two stacks on top of each other. There are 24 of them. So that is their Ultium platform, mm-hmm. which will underpin all of EVs, Cadillac, everything else. And so
sports cars included.
All right. A lot of their vehicles will only get one layer of the battery. And even some of the the lesser powered Hummers will get just one level of the batteries. This one gets two. And there are like 24 individual cells in this basically skateboard that they make, this platform. And I asked from GM, I'm like, okay, so talk to me about when one of the battery cells like goes, like, how do you get to it? And he's like, you don't. I'm like, okay. And then I was like, so talk to me then about the what's the life of this vehicle? And he's like, that's the life of the car. And I'm like, and what? And he said, well, there's a it's warrantied for like 8 years or 100,000 miles. And I was like, okay, well, but what does that mean like in real terms?
Yeah.
And he said, probably like 15 years. And I was like, I'm like, I don't think that's not enough for serious truck people. And that's like best case scenario.
It's 15 years for a truck that's costing close to, if not more than $100,000.
Oh no, it's more than $100,000.
Yeah.
So that
first edition is,
that's like saying your 2007 model year vehicle is obsolete and we cannot keep it on the road anymore.
Yeah.
That's,
you're done. Scrap.
Ridiculous.
That's the Sequoia next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, and I think truck people are like, I'm going to just, how long can I wring this towel out? Right. It's like 300. I can get 300,000 miles out of this.
There's a dude in town with a Nissan hard body that is doing the, it's weight reduction.
Yes. The rust reduction.
Yeah.
One of my best friends owns what was my Avalanche. It's a 2005 Avalanche with coming up on 300,000 miles. Like,
yeah,
in that vein, we still have some work to do.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's very interesting to me. I think that, what do I think? I think that it's kind of, well, it's just like, it's new tech, right? I mean, this is entry level stuff. This will all trickle down into a lot of other things that will make it really usable. And it's like any of my friends who ask me again, well, to bring it around full circle, ask me about buying EVs. I'm like, don't buy, lease.
Lease.
Yep. Not there yet. Lease your don't EV. Do it yet.
Lease your EVs, which unfortunately, we looked at leasing the Mustang Mach-E and it was like $850 a month. Like, no.
Crazy.
That was a base car. With
that's a good pick.
It was a base car. That was a no option vehicle with all-wheel drive.
That's insane. Yeah.
So I've got two facts for you. Top speed on the Lamborghini LM002 was 118 miles an hour.
Okay.
So not terrible, though.
I'm actually shocked at that. Okay.
It doesn't tell me how often it did that.
No. One time.
0 to 60 is 7.7 seconds.
Mm. Yeah.
Over twice as long as a Hummer.
Yeah, I was saying the Hummer's like what, 30-something?
That sounds about right.
And the Hummer EV is a tenth of an inch wider than the H1 Hummer.
Yeah, I believe that.
Which has been our reference. Yeah.
I'm surprised it's only that not much bigger.
Well, it's been our reference point lately because the TRX is like 1.2 inches wider than the H1 Hummer.
So massive. These things are huge.
It's crazy. So, Lynn, I know you had a deadline. Do you have like a hard stop? Do you have more time or?
I do have to split.
Okay.
Yes.
Before we open another can of worms on.
There's so many cans of worms. I love talking to you guys. Go on forever. You'll just have to have me on the show again.
Yeah, we will. So I'll wrap it up. You can rate and review the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or just about anywhere. We're on all the platforms. So whatever platform you're listening or watching on, please review it. Say something.
And if you're not, let us know where you are listening.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I don't, yeah.
Kind of curious.
Yeah. You can follow Lynn. It's at Lynn, LYN, 2 underscores, Woodward on Instagram. And then, of course, Kelly Blue Book is KBB_com. And KBB.com on Twitter. So
yes. And our YouTube channel is KBB.
She steals it from me sometimes.
Oh, next one. Sorry.
It's okay. You can read Sedona's article about the Jamil rally that I completely whiffed on Hooniverse. So yeah. The Hooniverse on Twitter, The Real Hooniverse on Instagram. Follow Ross, No Not Like the One from Friends. I'm at Overlanding Dad. And you can read what we write on Hooniverse, UTV driver, ATV writer, everyday driver, and U.S. News and World Report. Just, you know.
All the places.
I actually had a few people at the auto show look at my tag and be like, so what's the story here? I was like, listen.
Was it just a list?
Because it asked for credentials and you type them in thinking that they're going to just like pick one. And then they just spit all of them out.
Pick them all.
Did you also include the name of the podcast in your list?
I did. So next year, I'm putting in something in that list of things that's a joke, and we're going to see if anybody notices.
Oh my gosh, that's like the Van Halen Brown M&M clause and in the writer.
100%. Yep.
Sweet. Thank you so much, Lynn.
Thanks, Lynn.
You guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me. And we'll talk again real soon.
We definitely will.
Deal.